You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2016. You're listening to episode 201. We're back again. We didn't quit after 200, guys. Sorry. We're still here. I'm Rob. That's Jason.
Hey,
201. That's
201.
Us. How was your April Fool's Day? Haha, April Fool's. It hasn't happened yet.
So I don't know. Is that a work day?
It's a Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah. You should call in sick that day. Just not even deal with it.
No, I was just trying to think of somebody who could really like pull a good April Fool's prank on at work.
Oh.
I feel like Greg would be a good one.
I don't.
He's your boss and he's not my boss. And so.
I don't endorse April Fool's pranks as an
adult.
To
be fair, I'm not a huge fan of April Fool's pranks either.
Because no.
I would enjoy pulling them on someone and not having them pulled on me, but any ones I can think of are just mean.
Yeah, that's so, the thing. Too often as adults, April Fool's pranks are just kind of mean.
Like, hey, could you come into HR's office for a minute? They need to chat with you.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I did that to somebody one time.
You shouldn't do that, Jason. That's mean.
No. So this guy earned it. He was being a jerk about something and at my last job. Like, oh, so we had this email thing and he thought it'd be funny to like... start spamming this email thing to be funny. Like, thanks for sending this. Thanks for sending. So I wrote a rule that stopped him from doing that because I know how to write rules. It's not hard. So then he went into another, like an outward box and replied from there, which didn't hurt anything. So I got the VP of the department to pull into his office and be like, I was told to use this box for a joke. And like, she like just lectured him up and down and he thought he was going to get in a lot of trouble. And I walked in and I was like, gotcha. I think exactly what I said was, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And then she's like, yeah, I'm just kidding. You're fine. You can go. And he did not play any pranks on me anymore.
Yeah,
I won.
That's kind of a jerk thing to do, Jason.
Yeah, the guy was kind of a jerk. So.
Well, still. I don't know. Yeah.
So anyways, let's talk about pop culture because we haven't done that in a while. So,
okay, what's on your mind?
Have you been watching Daredevil?
I have one episode left.
So I've only watched 4 episodes.
Okay.
But it's really good so far.
It's good, yeah.
John Bernthal, I hate him, right? He was on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And he was the worst character ever on The Walking Dead.
He's the guy who's playing the Punisher in this.
But he's fantastic as the Punisher. The first 4 episodes that I've seen with him, he's fantastic. Like, there's an episode, it's like episode 3, where him and Daredevil... like talk for almost the whole episode.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Like I thought so at least. I don't know how you feel about it, but
well, you're only 4 episodes in, so I can't talk about anything.
Okay. Anyway, but the first 4 episodes, like it's just, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, he's a fantastic character. I feel like,
yeah.
And I feel like they did a really good job with him.
I've always been a huge fan of the Punisher.
Like they got him right this time? Because I don't have really anything invested in the Punisher.
Sure.
So it's not going to ruin anything if you say yes or no.
I feel like the guy who is playing the Punisher and the way the character is written most of the time is very well done.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like they're not fair. I'm trying to think about how to say this that's not a spoiler. So it's not a spoiler. I think there are some scenes... where they're not fair to him from a narrative perspective.
Okay.
Not fair to his character.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty common television stuff, right? Because you write so much that eventually it's hard to not... It's when you create smart characters who make good decisions, any time that you need them to do something where they're boxed in, that usually requires that they suddenly become stupid.
Yeah.
And that happens... I mean, yeah... I mean, there are so many times, I love the show, but there's so many times when I just want to punch Daredevil in the face for being so self-righteous about everything.
Yeah, well, that's who he is.
But, oh, man, they attempted to recreate the hallway scene in episode 3 or 4. I think it's episode 3.
Yeah, don't explain what it is. No, but it's a fun surprise.
No, but that was mostly one take.
In the, like, new season?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. No.
They did a really good job of making it appear that it was.
I think there were some very obvious cuts. There was a lot of very obvious CG in it as well. It was still good.
Well, there had to be CG so no one died.
Yeah, but it was very good. And, yeah. And in any other show or movie, that would have been astounding. An right, astounding thing. But compared to the hallway scene in the first season. The hallway,
nothing will, I mean, they even right. said, nothing will ever be as good as the hallway scene in the first season. Yeah. Because that scene is, I mean, like, that is the scene that I would say was, like, the landmark scene for that show. Like,
yeah.
When you saw that scene, you were like, they came to bring it.
Yeah, right. That put that show on the map, and no one can deny the quality of that show after that, just right. that one scene, right?
Yeah.
And their homage to that in season 2 is very good.
Right. And if you've never seen that scene before, you'd be like, this is amazing. But yeah. I agree. Yeah. There was clearly some CG work in there, but... Yeah. When you watch it, you'll understand that there had to be. But
well, of course there had to be. Yeah.
It was just the improvisation on his part was great. In a crappy situation, I will improvise in a cool way.
Yeah. You and I are going to probably talk about that more offline. We're not recording. I will say, I think that, and again, not with any spoilers, I think the best thing that this series has done ever is putting Vincent D'Onofrio into that role as the Kingpin.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Because I mean, that show is very good. It's very good. But anytime that guy's on your TV screen, it elevates it to something entirely new. I mean, that guy, I've liked that guy. I've always liked him as an actor, but I never had any concept for how he can truly inhabit a character. I've never seen method actor like truly become someone else entirely.
Right.
And
no, and he was the reason season 1 was so good.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for, if they had picked a different villain or tried to do like the Punisher in season 1, it wouldn't have had any weight to it. I mean, he sold that season. I mean,
yeah.
Matt Murdock, not the most interesting character in the world. He's really not.
Yeah, he's fine. I
think that Foggy and Karen are way more interesting than he is most of the time.
I think Foggy is the most likable character.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
Yeah, he's the most honest character, I think, on the good guy's side. Like, Karen, I think, is fine. That actress, I think, is not the best actress.
I think she works for that part, though.
She's okay.
Like, I think I like her. But
she has some, like, a few, like, tics, you know, like a few kind of poses and expressions and motions that she does too often. You know?
I can see that.
And it's not just that character, because she did all the same things when she was on True Blood.
It's true. Yeah. I'm
not saying she's bad. You know, I don't want anybody to think, because I think she's still very good. The whole show is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
probably struggling because the show is so much more well written than True Blood.
So
she's like,
that's for sure.
Wait, I'm supposed to do what?
That's for sure.
Also, very much love Rosario Dawson when she's on the show.
She's great. So, yeah.
And she's got some good stuff.
It's like, it's one of these things, like first season of Daredevil, I was like, man, holy crap. This is how you do a superhero TV show. Oh my gosh. This is amazing. This is amazing. And I thought, there's no way. I mean, this is a pinnacle.
Right.
And then Jessica Jones came out.
I know.
I was like, WTF, guys.
Yeah.
Whoa. And now Daredevil season 2 for me has been almost as good as Daredevil season 1. But coming after Jessica Jones,
it's hard, yeah.
It's a little pale.
Jessica Jones was fantastic. I'm a little nervous about Luke Cage.
I don't know.
Because I liked him, but I only liked him because he was playing off from her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be really interested to see where they go with that character.
Yeah, me too. And you know, and the characters Netflix is doing, like, I don't have any investment with these characters. You know, like Daredevil, I never really paid attention to. I've always been a big Punisher fan, but he's not the lead, right?
Right.
It's not about him. Same thing with Luke Cage. Same thing with Jessica Jones. And I guess they're doing, what is it, Iron Fist is the other one?
They also announced 4 new shows.
Oh, did I guess I missed those.
So in one of them is, when I was a kid, my favorite superhero was a kind of weird superhero off the, not, you know, your mainstream, but it was Moon Knight. and they're going to do a Moon Knight show.
Really? Moon Knight?
Remind me
what
also
Moon
named
is.
Mark Spector, which I always thought was funny.
Oh,
because of our friend Mark Spector. Right. But yeah, Moon Knight. He's basically Marvel's Batman, but he wears white for some reason.
Oh, okay, and that's ringing a bell. Man.
Yeah, but I always liked him. I always liked the comics of him.
Uh-huh.
So they're doing that, and then they're there's a couple other ones. But actually, Mark Spector shared it. That's how I found out about it, because he was like, "Party in my house."
That's funny.
But it was. I want to say the Punisher might have been one.
Well, that'd be right.
I don't know.
I don't know how they could sustain that character for a whole series. That's the
how
thing.
I felt too. Like, he is a really good side character, but he just murders everyone all the time. I mean, that's not a spoiler, guys. That's what the Punisher
does.
That's
who he is. Yeah. But the point I was going to make is that these are all a lot of characters that I don't know very well. I don't have a lot of personal history with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like Spider-Man and Captain America, you know, and Iron Man, guys that, you know, I've read those guys. They're the A-listers, right? These are the B-listers that I don't really, I'm not a super hardcore comics guy, so I don't have any investment, and I don't really have a lot of strong opinions about how those characters should be portrayed. And so I feel like I'm kind of the perfect audience for these things.
Right.
But I also wasn't expecting much, so it really caught me off guard, and I kind of lost track of where I was going, but anyway.
The thing that I think I'm most concerned about is that Jessica Jones season 2 will not be great, because so much of Jessica Jones season 1 was good because of David Tennant. I mean, like, those two together were, and he was the most terrifying villain that Marvel's ever done.
Yeah.
The only reason he wasn't ruling the world is because he just didn't feel like it. That was just too much work.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
right. Yeah, that's tough. It's one of those things that a hero is really only as good as the villain that he's up against, right?
Right. Oh yeah. That's totally true. And, which actually, one of the things the Marvel movies have had trouble with is
absolutely
having a good villain.
Yeah, and they had Loki. Loki was the only really good one they've had, and that's why they put him in 3 freaking movies.
Right. Which by the end, you're like, Loki, gosh, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be in every Thor movie. I get it. It's like a thing.
Yeah.
But like, it was kind of like, guys, like, Loki is not that great anymore.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, I'm looking forward to you finishing season 2 of Daredevil so we can talk about it in more detail.
Yeah. I'm hoping to finish it in the next week here.
I'll probably
be watching a couple episodes a night trying to get through it.
So. When we're done here tonight, Christine has said you're not going to bed when you get home. We're finishing Daredevil tonight.
And then, of course, we're recording later than normal tonight.
Yeah. Right. So she's going to be super pissed because I won't be home till like 10.
And then you're going to have to watch Daredevil.
And I'll probably fall asleep through the last half hour and have to, and she'll be just furious with me.
Well, sucks to be you. Whatever. Yeah. But I'm going to try and watch a couple more episodes tonight, because at the end of episode 4, you kind of get a wrap-up of one section of what's happening and an opening of a new, and that's kind of how it ends. So I'm like, I want to, and then I haven't been able to watch because we've had this work stuff going on. And so anyways, one other quick note that I thought was interesting. So they're rebooting Tomb Raider. Have you heard that?
I heard a thing saying that there was talk of it, but I don't know if that's officially happening.
So, from what I've had, it is officially happening.
Oh,
and right now, one of the main people they're talking to is actually Daisy Ridley, which would be fantastic.
I think that's what I saw, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
I was really, really wanted it to be Camilla Luddington, because that's who plays her in the game.
Right.
And that's who she's modeled after. I thought that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, first of all, Daisy Ridley and her kind of look alike a little bit, and Daisy Ridley is awesome.
Yeah,
anything
really
they
good.
Can put her in where she gets to be a big action hero, I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
I would go see it. So,
yeah, we both played the reboot, just Tomb Raider, right?
Yeah, I loved that game.
It was good,
so
it was real good. And the sequel came out, I think, last year, and it was all the reviews say it was better. But it was only on Xbox, and I think it's on PC now. But it's got some exclusivity window, so I don't think it's going to be on PS4 till I don't know, later this year, I think.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to it on PS4. Because that game, that was the first Tomb Raider I'd played since I think the first one.
Cool.
I'll be interested to see what they do with that.
Yeah, me too.
Sure.
All right, so let's talk about games.
So Unpub,
we owe an Unpub update. So that will be our topic tonight. Do you want to go first? Want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. That's fine. Just tonight as we're recording this, Daryl tweeted out a link to the Unpub, basically the floor plan where everybody's going to be sitting, and I can't see it on my phone, so I'm going to wait till I get home tonight to check that out. So that's cool. Where am I here? So I ordered components from GameCrafter. I ordered some standees and some cards. Those were delivered, yesterday, as a matter of fact. So I got those, I got the medium size standees. I don't know if,
yeah. I was going to order the small when I was thinking about it.
The medium size I like a lot. The measurements on the description, but they're about
how big is the base then?
The base is, it's probably about a half inch square. Okay.
I was worried. See, that would be too much for my Minecart game. I'd need the small ones to fit on those six squares on the board.
It might fit. Well, you could probably do better with the small ones. The downside for you, though, is the small ones, the art on those would have to be very small, and it'd be tough to read.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the medium-sized ones. The laser cut is a nice touch. So it's the first time I've ordered one of their laser cut products, and I was very impressed by that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So
good game crafter.
Good quality stuff there. And the cards are good. Let's see. So component wise, I think I'm pretty good. We really need to get another play night in, though.
Yes.
You and I and our wives need to get together so we can do some more testing. Because what I really need to work on next is making sure that my powers are doing well. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's what Unpub's for, right? It's for play testing and balancing that stuff.
Right.
But I'd like to get at least one more test in to get that dialed in a little tighter before I get there.
Alternatively, we could ask a couple people from work to get together with us.
We could do that
maybe
too.
Next Tuesday night. Could ask John and Alan. They might do it.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea.
It'd be fresh feedback, right?
Yeah, right.
So that might be nice.
Might be a better idea.
So,
because scheduling stuff with the wives
can be harder
with your kids
is
always basically a
challenge. If you guys can't come over, it probably won't work.
Right,
only works on the weekends.
And actually, I think our weekends are pretty booked, so it would have to be on a weeknight for us.
Might be too. So let's talk. I'll ask them tomorrow about that.
That's a good idea.
If I ask them in advance, they stay the night next Tuesday. We could do that. That would be good.
I think it's a good idea.
Get some extra feedback on the games.
So what I'm thinking about now is one of the ideas that we had was I love this idea. And you've already ordered yours, and I still need to order mine.
I got them already, yeah.
So, to give away stickers to everybody who plays our game, give them a sticker saying, I played the thing, or maybe it's just the name of the game, or whatever.
Mine is just the name of the game. Yeah, I didn't go with I played with, only because then later, if I want to use those for anything else, I just have them.
Sure, yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to order two different ones. I'm going to order one that says, I got scrapped, and then it's going to say Galactus Scrappers on it. And the other one is going to say, I'm a scrapper. And so the person who wins each game is going to get I'm a scrapper. And whoever the ones who lose say I got scrapped. And so hopefully they'll stick them on their shirt and they'll walk around the event all day. People go, oh, where'd you get that sticker? And they'll say, oh, I got it at this thing at the table. And hopefully now that they're released the map, I can put my table number on there as well.
Right. And I'm at a tag table, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I'm going to just have a sign, which I printed off already. It's just a regular sign.
Yeah.
The 8.5 by 11. And I've double sided. I'm going to I think I'm going to get a yardstick.
Sure.
And just tape it to that, tape it to the table, and then, you know, go up with that. So,
yeah. And I want to do something similar. I've got, I just stole some art from, because my game has little robots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little robots crawling around. And so I went to opengameart.org, which is a good place that has open source artwork.
Oh, I didn't know about
that.
Yeah.
It's all intended for like video games. Not really for card games and stuff, but it's a quick, easy resource where I can just grab a piece of art. I'm only using it for a prototype. I'm not going to try and sell anything with it.
Right.
And it's all Creative Commons.
And Greencrafter will let you print with that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Because it's all Creative Commons. And different pieces of art have different license use on them. But kind of the main thing is I'm not modifying it. I'm not going to actually sell that artwork or anything with that printed on there. So it's all pretty safe to use. So I've got little robot dudes on there. And I was thinking I might want to like try and do a papercraft version of one of those robots. It's like bigger, so I can set that on the table next to it, but I don't know that I'm going to really have time to
make
that happen.
Just print a sign with it and stick a sign.
What I'll end up doing is I'll just make a sign and I'll have that with a little robot dude next to the logo is kind of what I'm thinking. And my logo, the logo I did is really just kind of just good enough.
Right. That's what I did too.
Yeah. It's just, hey, this is what it says. It's a little dynamic, hopefully a little bit. It's certainly not the kind of thing that would stay on the game long-term, much like Saloon Tycoon, right? The one I did for that for Unpub was just, I wanted to get the point across so you could look at that and say, okay, I get what that is.
Right.
Yeah. So that was the goal with it.
And that's all I did. You saw mine. It's just it's an old sign I took and that's kind of broken. And then I just put Mind Cart Madness on it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is kind of where I am with Galactic Scrappers right now. Nothing fancy.
All right. So,
how about you?
So Minecart Madness. Well, so I got kind of kicked in the crotch on this. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. So Portal Games is coming out with a game called Crazy Carts, which is a game about a fantasy game about racing minecarts.
Oh, my goodness.
Never heard anything about that until a couple weeks before on Pub. So that super sucks.
Yeah.
Because I'm already committed to
right,
the name.
Right, it's in the program.
Yeah, so, but I'm just going to own it. Here's the thing. I looked a bit at the game after finding out about it, and I even asked some questions of some people that might know a few things. and the answers I got back are, this is actually in the press release too they sent. So it's a two-player game, so I'm assuming I believe you have to have four players to play it.
Oh, okay.
Because in the game, we're racing, but I control two functions of the cart, and you control two more. So, like, I control acceleration and shooting, and you control deceleration and turning. Hopefully the game is great, but that does not sound interesting to me at all. I don't like... and that's nothing like my game. So, yay!
Yeah, nothing at all, right?
Nothing at all. So, the theme is... And the theme isn't even the same. Here's what's crazy. The theme is the theme from the game Andy and I worked on a long time ago. Like, even looking at the artwork,
yeah,
there's like two elves in a thing. I mean, like, it is literally the same theme.
Your fantasy racing game, yeah.
This is what happens, right? I mean, you know, people have different ideas and sometimes they turn out to be the same, but it is literally the fantasy racing game. So I'm super glad that Andy and I didn't pursue that, because that would have really sucked, because there would have been no going back from that because the theme is so close.
Right.
Mine is gnomes racing carts. It's like the Gnome Racing League.
Mm-hmm.
And that could so easily become anything else in modern day.
Sure.
The name could be changed. The name probably doesn't even need to be changed because, you know, there's no real, as long as the artwork is different, there's no real confusion between the two games.
Mm-hmm.
And the games will be very different. So I feel good about that. At the first couple of days, I was pretty pissed about it. I'm not going to lie. But thank you all the builders who sent it. Like, five builders sent it to me, which at first was, I was so thankful. And by the end, I was like, quit sending this to me. It's just making me mad. But no, but please do that. That was great, because I would not have known about it if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that a lot. So where is the game at? The game is ready to go. I have the prototype that I am taking. I showed you tonight. I have to change a couple cards because one of the gems on the racetrack didn't show up as good as I wanted, because it's a little, you said it's a little muddier with the inkjet printing than it looks on the Photoshop screen.
And right.
You're not wrong. So I fixed all the cards. I just haven't printed and cut them out yet. So that'll take me like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get a yardstick and some tape. Yeah, I want to run through one more playtest of the game, but I'm really happy with where it's at. I got my stickers.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered flat, not glossy, and I wish I'd ordered glossy. I was just afraid they might look too weird and shiny, but I think that would have been the better choice if I was doing it again. But they get the point across, and they were cheap. They were from Vistaprint. They look fine. Mm-hmm. It's just the logo of the game on the sign. I feel really good about this game. I need to try and set up some meetings, but I'm really bad at that. So
yeah,
I'm going to just try and...
Running out of time, man.
Yeah, well, I know. So I'm just going to see if I can't find a couple things to set up. I want to hit up Breaking Games, because I think they would be a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not sure. So I need to see what else is going. I was thinking something like... I honestly don't know. This Portal Games thing has thrown me for a loop with this. So... we're also going to Origins. So even if I don't pitch it to anybody really at Unpub, there's Origins, and there'll be tons of publishers at Origins.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I'm actually working on a meeting for Gunslinging Ramblers at Origins, and I would probably slip this in that meeting as well. Mm-hmm. So, because why not, right?
Sure. Take credit.
I actually don't think it's the type of game they would publish in its current theme. But what if they're like, this mechanics are great, let's retheme it and do this, you know?
Because
it's very compact, and they deal with more compact games. That is one of the things I think it's a huge selling point is for a racing game, for a full out racing game.
Yeah.
It is incredibly compact.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
And, it would easily fit in, you know, like a little game craft or a small box. And that is my plan, is to be able to bring it around in that so that I can be like, check this out. This is, you know,
sure.
This really fits in this little box. So,
cool.
I think that's the update for that. I don't really have a lot more with that.
Nor do I. I guess we can move on to your pitch, eh?
Yeah. This is, show's going a little fast tonight here. All right. So I don't have a pitch because we're recording this at the same time we're recording the others, like we always do. So, what I am going to do is, cause we originally talked about maybe just recording one episode tonight and we ended up doing two. So But I had such a good time doing the pitch, the lightning round pitch challenge last week. We both did. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed that because, gosh, we sure thought it was fun. I'm going to rewind from that for just a second. Unpub. One more thing about Unpub.
Sure.
We are bringing some promo cards to Unpub for the BTG CCG.
Yep.
So try and find us. They are pretty cool and they're pretty different and we're excited about them. So hit us up for those while you're there. We don't have a ton of them because we always don't order a ton because it gets expensive after a while. Right. So,
and we've got some leftovers from Grand Con as well.
Yeah. So we might have some other promos you could possibly get from us there as well. But we will have these official ones with us as well. And so there's that. That's Unpub. We're very excited about Unpub. I just hope that I get good feedback and maybe get a couple people to look at my game, even if they don't buy it, just to get people to look at my game.
Yeah.
So last week we did this pitch challenge thing and it was super fun. But one of the things you probably noticed if you really paid attention to the game was to the pitches, it was that we had to rush through them because we did 2 minutes each because we wanted it to be really bad pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now I thought I'd go back and pick one of the ones I liked that I really cared for and try and turn that into something real. So we're kind of workshopping this idea here. But I think I'm trying to decide between two right now. But I think I think I want to talk about Hella Umbrella. So the idea of Hella Umbrella was it had to be a deck building game, right? So what I went with was Hella Umbrella is a deck building game where Hella Umbrella is a supervillain who has destroyed all of the good superheroes. And now a group of people are trying to acquire superpowers and super items to help them take down Hella Umbrella and save the world.
Mm-hmm.
So this deck building game would work differently. The idea is that there's a common deck in the center and everyone is dealt 5 cards and they're going to get to keep 4 of those cards and have to give one back. Well, why does that matter? So they're dealt 5 cards and when they get the cards, they're looking at the face of the cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the back of the cards, instead of a back, is actually actions that Hella Umbrella is going to take on that turn, okay? But I can't see those, and it's a co-op game, but we can't share information. So, so I know what I got, right? Maybe like an ability could be to share information, right? Like,
sure.
Like somebody gets like a telepathic ability and they can share information, like, hey, don't give her this card, because of course it wouldn't just be like the better the card, the better the power that she has.
Yeah.
In fact, it would probably be the opposite. Yeah. It would probably be the opposite, but I think you'd still want to have some randomness on it. Right. So that way you never would know if I have this one card that's like, you know, super strength, it's not always going to be the same attack that Hella Umbrella has. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So I think we would all have hit points. And Hella Umbrella's job is to destroy all of us. Right.
Okay.
And I think that, I don't want there to be player elimination though, so we'll have to work on that. But, the idea was that you would keep 4 cards for yourself that you would then put into your deck, and then you would have to give one back. And the one back that you give would then, those 4 cards would make up Hella Umbrella's turn. So, Hella would take things and maybe it would be like, should they just go into a deck? I think they should just go into a deck, right? Like go into a discard pile, just like they do in like a normal deck building game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So go into a discard pile and then they get shuffled up and 5 cards are dealt out, right? So maybe you start her with like, she has like a base deck of cards, just like, just like you have a base deck of cards in every deck building game ever, right?
Okay.
So there's the draft round where you pick what you're going to keep and you give her what you're going to give her. That goes to a discard. Your cards you keep go to your discard. Then you deal yourself 5 cards out, just like normal. And then you use those cards to attempt to attack her and or block her attacks. So basically, her 5 attacks come out, right? Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 boom. Here's her 5
actions.
Her 5 actions. Not always attacks here. 5 actions. And then your job as a team is to counter them. But the problem is you can't work together. You have to, I take my turn, you take your turn, you take... So a little Sentinel Z in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except for with the deck building mechanics, it's slightly different. Is that too much like Sentinels?
You're on the border.
So what I was going to say to make it different, though, was think about it as each player is hopping in and attacking, right? And at the end of the round, the last player to go, right? Yeah. So kind of like my Outcome the Wolves game, the last player to take their action that turn, they're going to get hit by everything that's left over. So
okay.
So you have to think about that. If you've got like the glass cannon going last, right? You got to make sure they're protected. You got to make sure to take out the high value stuff first, so that you can basically set that glass cannon up to be able to do a hard hit, not have to take a bunch of damage because they're going to die if they do that, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. So I'm not sure. So at the start of every round, do you draft? Do you do the drafting thing?
Yeah, you would start with a draft, and then you ditch those cards to your discard, and then you would deal yourself cards.
So every round, you're putting, you're adding four cards to your deck.
Yes. So there has to be a way to lose cards,
yeah,
probably.
Your deck is going
to
grow really quickly. So, and then if you're going to reshuffle and redeal after every turn, you don't really have a whole lot of knowledge about what might be coming up. Because that's, I mean, that can be a...
You don't reshuffle and redeal after every turn. The stuff goes to your discard, and you deal out just like a normal. So for the first two rounds, you wouldn't have any special abilities in there, right? Because you'd start with, say, 10 cards in your base character deck.
Okay.
So in
still, though, your deck's going to grow really quickly.
Right. Honestly, you know what this reminds me of more? This really reminds me of DC Deck Builder, which is a great game, by the way, with way too much text on the cards. But, yeah, that's a deck building game where you're fighting a villain, but you're doing it for yourself. Like, you want to be the one to take out the villains. You don't care about anybody else. You want the glory. And this is more of a co-op-y thing, but,
So I think, what if you're all trying to build the same deck? You're all trying to build a master deck in the center of the table. What if you kind of flip that around? So,
okay.
So players are. So you're choosing cards to add to the central deck, and you want to choose cards that are going to be beneficial to you guys as the players, and.
Right.
And at the start, so at the start of every round, you are going to, you're going to add cards to the central discard pile, and then everybody, and then from the central deck, you deal everybody three cards, including the villain gets three cards.
Okay.
And then you got the players can then play whatever number of cards that they want to do, which might give them protections, allow them to draw more cards, or force the villain to discard, or whatever. And then, once all the players have gone, then the villain plays her cards. And they're just basically, all three of them are revealed. And sometimes, some of the actions you take might actually give the villain more cards in her hand,
right,
to offset you doing something super cool or something. And then, so all that stuff triggers. And so the goal is, maybe your goal is to end a round, get through a whole round with the villain having zero cards, and then you've knocked her out. So then the question becomes, what's that action for adding cards to the central deck? So it's like it's a co-op deck builder where everyone's working together to build one deck instead of everybody building their own individual decks.
And then when it's time to play the deck, everyone would get cards from the deck?
Right.
That's
including the villain.
That's interesting. So that made me think, since we're just kind of exploring ideas, me think of another idea, which was, what if you stole the mechanic from Flip City, right? And each player is a superhero, and on one side of your card is your base, like, this is who I am, right? I'm Clark Kent, but you're not Superman yet, right? And on the opposite side of the card is your superhero version, right, of that ability, right?
Okay.
So, like, one might be like punch someone, and the other one's like super punch. I mean, that's the lamest example ever, but right.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout the game, you're trying to do something to upgrade yourself, right, to become more of a superhero. Well, the villain is trying to downgrade you to keep you just a regular person, right?
Okay.
So when you take damage, what ends up happening is if you take damage when cards are out, you have to flip them over back to the mild-mannered side, right?
Gotcha.
So whenever you play a card, the cool thing is you play a really good card, but if you play a really good card and you don't have other cards to sacrifice, when you take damage, you're going to have to flip that card back over, and now you've lost it for now. You can get it back later by charging yourself up somehow. Mm-hmm. I like that idea for a mechanic. I think that could be a fun way to use that kind of that Flip City mechanic of like flipping cards to try and upgrade them.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
Hmm.
I don't know. I've lost it now. This sounded like, this is why we workshop ideas though, because this sounded a cool idea and now I don't really like it like at all. So that's cool.
That's why we talk about things.
It is why we talk about things.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of having cards on one side that are good and having take damage and you flip them over and they're less good.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool to me. I think that's a really neat idea.
But I also really like that idea of hero side and villain side.
That's also good. Yeah, right. And you would lose that if you did it that way. Right. So
I think they're both viable options, but I think they're different styles.
What I like so much about the hero side and villain side is you get to choose, like,
yeah,
what am I giving to the person? Mm-hmm. What am I giving up, you know?
In fact, you know what? I think probably with what you would probably do at the start of the round is you would probably deal out, like, at start of every round, you would just deal a whole bunch of cards out on the table. And if there are four players, you might put 12 cards out, you know? And everybody goes around the table and takes two, and whatever's left is the villain deck. It is the villain's hand for that round. Okay. That's probably a better way to do it.
What if, to add a twist to that,
okay,
what if at the beginning of the game, because the cards are two-sided, right? Mm-hmm. You cut the deck in half, flip over one half of the deck.
Oh.
Shelf them together.
Yeah, there you go.
So when the cards come out and you get to choose from them, mm-hmm, sometimes it's just the villain side. And like, mm-hmm, so you know what's going to happen and it's bad.
And you might take it just because you don't want that to be the villain's action.
Not knowing what's on the other side. That, I think, adds some real intrigue.
I like that a lot, yeah.
So
that's a better way to do that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then as things go to the discard, they stay whatever orientation they were as they were played in the discard.
Oh, see, no, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking that whoever takes it, so like if there's a superhero side up,
mm-hmm,
if I don't take it, it flips to the villain side when the villain gets it.
Well, yeah. And if the card's out there to pick up and it's a villain side and I choose to take it, then it's a hero card. But later, and when I play it as a hero card to the discard, it stays as a hero card.
I see.
Until you have the opportunity to pick it up again.
I get you. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you have to shuffle the deck,
you just maintain that.
Well, I was going to say, when you have to shuffle the deck, don't maintain it. Pull it apart, flip it again, and reshuffle it to create some more randomness.
Mm, yeah.
But I guess, yeah.
Well, but again, you know, part of the deck building is you want to be able to control
that's true,
some of that mix. Or at least be able to count cards, right? As to what's left in your deck, theoretically, if you're good at that. I'm still not sure what the process would be for adding cards to the central deck.
Well, see, if I was going to do it the way you described, where we have the cards in the middle and you're just drafting from those, I wouldn't have the central decks. I'd have the separate decks. So there'd be a drafting round. Everyone would draft. And then, in fact, I would actually say, you know what? This is what I would say. It's not deck building, because I don't have to be married to deck building now that it's not the challenge. Sure. So you get what you get, right? Like, I draw two cards and I can play as many cards as I want on a turn, or maybe I can play up to two cards on a turn, but I don't have to, right? So I can store cards in my hand to try and make combos and stuff, right?
Yeah, sure.
So on my turn, I might draw two cards and not do anything else, or I might draw two cards, play a card that lets me draw another card, right, to try and gyp the villain out of some stuff.
Okay.
So, and then the villain takes the actions immediately that you leave to them, because I like that, right? Mm-hmm. The idea that, like, instant gratification or penalty by... you played this, now this happens to you. So,
yeah.
I think there could be something to that. I think that's kind of cool, the idea that, like, it's a choose your own destiny there, right? Because you could be purposely trying to nerf the villain. Or what's great is there's, like, a weak card, and on some of that weak card, like, it's like super punch, but it's not great, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on some of that weak card, on the back is some super devastating thing that the villain can do, but on others, it's, like, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But because it mixed in, you don't know, so... one of the carding, counting cards thing would be to remember, was it the devastating side up or was it the super punch side
up? Right.
So, Like, and then you could be, you know, talking like, oh man, you're going to have to take that super punch card because we can't get hit by that, you know?
Right.
And maybe it's not co-op then, right? So, but everybody's going to like get penalized for it. So if there's a big card and everybody's going to get penalized, I do like the idea too of last person gets penalized.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like an outcome of the wolves. I like that idea that, and that rotates every round. So last player always gets screwed with the brunt of whatever's left over.
Mm-hmm. You can still keep it competitive though and say like the first player to like the round ends when somebody says, I'm not going to pick up any more cards, and that person then gets to take their action first.
Right.
Yeah. And so then you really, basically you're taking a chance. You could just end the round without picking up anything and maintain first place and just hose everybody else.
Right. But there could be cards that allow you to manipulate that or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to screw
yeah.
people. And you know, an interesting thing could be that say you are a superhero team, so you can't let any of the other heroes die. That's the rule. No one can die. You have to keep all the heroes alive. If someone dies, everybody loses.
Mm-hmm.
But you're playing to X points to win because
mm-hmm.
you're trying to get the glory, right?
Sure.
So that could actually be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Well, there we go. So
there's something more to explore there.
Yeah. At least a few mechanics that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, so that is good. Before we go, one thing I want to talk about. Sometime soon, we're going to have a cool surprise on the show. Yeah, I'm going to hopefully get to announce something kind of cool. I'm mm-hmm. pretty excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
So I think it'll be real soon. In fact, yeah, it could be maybe even on the next episode. Who knows? So.
Well, the next episode will be on Pub, so maybe the episode after that.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because so, that would be good stuff for us to talk about. So it's good news.
It's good news. It's good stuff to talk about.
Yep.
So just teaser there for
teaser
something
there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Something I'm very, very, very excited about. Yeah. We'll definitely have more information about it soon.
It's positive development.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed.
Wow, it's anything else we want to talk to the builders about here? Get real.
Hmm.
You know, we mentioned this a little bit. So Gen Con is not too far away.
Right.
So if you have any suggestions of any designers that you think need to get into a fight with each other,
mm-hmm.
you should let us know. Because
Gary Design Challenge
is coming up.
Yeah, coming up quickly.
And we've been talking to Mr. Jason Tagmeyer, who's going to be helping us design some of these rounds. And I don't envy the people who have to play in the rounds that Tagmeyer is being a part of, because
he's got some interesting ideas.
He does. And I would say I pity them.
So yeah.
I kind of knew that would happen if he got picked. I mean, if he won, honestly, Josh Mills probably would have been terrible as well. So coming with mean stuff. So, yeah. So anyways, that is exciting stuff.
Yeah. We're looking for beef, you know, for some real gripes, some real conflict is really what we want. We want conflict. We want hatred. We want vengeance. We want blood on the floor at this thing, you know?
Yes.
We want scratching, clawing, biting, hair pulling, eye gouging rage.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
At this event.
Let's do that.
All
Gen
these
Con
things.
Approves of all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're looking for two people who just really, truly hate each other.
Yeah. That sounds great.
You know,
let's do that.
Real hatred.
Real hatred. Also, in addition to that, we need to find a head judge still. So we should get on that.
Yeah. So we should figure that out. I don't know. So builders, if you hate someone yourself, like really hate them, let us know. And if you've heard of any, truly, truly great conflicts brewing in the gaming world. Fill us in.
Yeah, and we'll be looking at Unpub, because last year at Unpub is where we met Josh Mills for the first time.
Right.
And we're like, you would be a great iron designer.
This guy hates the world.
Yeah.
This guy hates the world.
He just wants to say, world, screw you.
Yeah.
Look at this crazy hair I have and this beard. Am I a Sasquatch? Am I a person? You don't know.
You don't know. There's no way to tell. He likes ice cream, though, I hear.
He does.
Yeah, so.
He does. Anything dairy-related, actually, he's a big fan
of. Big fan of the dairy.
Big fan of the dairy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyways, yeah. Give us some hate. Give us some rage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, unload it upon us.
Right.
Unleash it, I should say. Unleash the rage upon us so that we can properly channel it into combat.
Release the Kraken on us.
One-on-one combat. Yeah. Thunderdome, basically.
Basically.
I'm basically talking Thunderdome.
Basically.
Bungee cords, yes. Chainsaws, no.
Right. Well, but chainsaws are loud. They're not good for recording, so.
Yeah, right. But bungee cords, all about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Boing. Just jumping around.
Right.
So if only Gen Con had a room that was like the Thunderdome.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, they should work on that.
They should do that. Come I bet you Con. People would pay several tickets to be in the Thunderdome.
And even more to watch other people because that would be less dangerous.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
That's right. Cool. All right.
Who rules Bartertown? Do you know who rules Bartertown?
Is it the mother lady or whatever?
No, it's Master Blaster.
Master Blaster?
Master Blaster.
All right. Oh, guys, speaking of movies... that you need to go look up the Dire Straits Project.
Oh, yes!
It's fantastic.
It's not the Dire Straits Project. What is that? It's the, what's the name of that song?
I'm pretty sure it's the Dire Straits.
It's not. It's the name of the song project.
Walk of Life?
The Walk of Life Project.
Okay.
It's the Walk of Life Project.
Go find that.
Google the Walk of Life Project. If you're a movie buff, of even a little bit, it will change your life.
It will. It's the best thing.
It is the best thing.
Yeah. It's really good.
The Walk of Life Project. Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful experience.
It is. So check that out. All right.
Okay, that's enough from us. So
indeed it is.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We always do. If you want to hit us up, you can do those things. You can send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I'm @poorly_design. Like us on Facebook. 5-star reviews on the podcast places. Call or Google voice number 77HotelBTG. Our website is buildinggamepodcast.com. We'll see you again next week with another episode. Unpub shenanigans coming your way very soon. Later very on. Bye bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Of course not.
Here's the best thing about Paw Patrol. The theme song says, Paw Patrol will be there on the double. But my kids, for some reason, saying, Paw Patrol, wiener double. So
that's good. I like that.
And it's really funny to hear Laurel say that.
Yeah.
She's like really little and she's got a little bit of a lisp. So it's like, it's just, and she really emphasizes it. It's pretty funny.
Wiener double.
Yeah. And like, I actually said, buddy, it's, we'll be there on the double. And he's like, it's wiener double, dad. Like yesterday, Steph and him were in the car and they were going to school and they saw, he's like, Mom, I saw 3 airplanes. And she's like, wow, buddy, that's a lot of airplanes. And he's like, no, Mom, it's a few. Because that's how he thinks. He's like, dude, no, it's a few. 3 is a few. I've been very clear about teaching him that. Like a couple, a few, several. You need to learn these things.
Uh-huh. That's important to you.
Yes. He even will tell you, if you ask him what several is, he'll say it's 4 or more. He understands that.
Well,
yeah. So.
You got to teach him the right things.
Teach him how to use the English language, right?